This podcast is brought to you by ER Eats, supporting our restaurants and first responders. The Howie Carr Show is accepting donations to feed emergency room personnel as they battle the coronavirus. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the ER Eats banner at the top of the page to donate.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
So the story in the New York Times is a total fake. It's a fake newspaper, and they write fake stories. Now, with that, we have a few clips that we're just going to put up. We could turn the lights a little bit lower. I think you'll find them interesting. And then we'll answer some questions. I'll ask you some questions because you're so guilty. Please, you can put it on.
Stand by, everybody.
Roll tape, please.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
30. What did your administration do in February for the time that your travel ban got
you? A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look, you know you're a fake, but the people are wise to you. That's why you have a lower approval rating than you've ever had before, times probably three.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
So today I can't believe I'm about to do this. Asking all Americans to support your candidacy, which I endorse.
What an unexpected and blood-curdling surprise.
The kind of leadership that's guided by knowledge and experience, honesty and humility, empathy and grace.
I think I'm going to throw up.
And that's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for President of the United States.
President Obama reportedly told Joe Biden directly, quote, "You don't have to do this, Joe. You really don't."
Unchained and unstoppable.
I don't like what I do professionally.
And I don't want some jackass, loser, fat tire biker talk bullshit to me. I don't want to hear it. That matters to me more than making millions of dollars a year because I've saved my money.
The point is I'm rich, rich, rich.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. So now both Bernie and Obama, or should I say Barack America, the first clean, articulate black candidate for president, as Biden called him. He's called him many things over the years, has now endorsed Joe Biden. Do you know what this tells me? Tells me that despite the best efforts of the party apparatus in the media, Pravda, Izvestia, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, the Tara Reid story of Joe groping his aide, grabbing her by the, well, you know, and saying when she rebuffed him, "Come on, man, I heard you liked me." I think that story must be sticking. Even though the New York Times and the Washington Post wouldn't, you'll pardon the expression, touch it for 3 weeks. So that's why Biden has today received and yesterday received the endorsements of Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders. 844. Yeah. And by the way, does Joe Biden strike you as the kind of guy who plays chess, or does he strike you as the kind of guy who plays checkers? I think I see him more as a checkers kind of guy myself.
I see him more of a 52 pickup kind of guy.
That too. I don't think he's really much for any of the games where you have to count cards, whether it's, poker, bridge, anything where you have to count cards, because he's not real good at counting, as we saw again at in his podcast with Bernie. He had he announced his 6-point plan with working policy groups. Let's play that cut. Cut three.
I believe there's a great opportunity to work together to deploy policy approaches that can take us closer to our shared goals. So I'm pleased to announce that Bernie and I have agreed to establish, as we said, we already talked about it, six policy working groups. One on the economy. One on education.
Education.
One on criminal justice. It should
criminal
be reform,
justice.
Not punishment. One on immigration.
Immigration.
Climate change. And the economy.
Mr. Sleepy Joe, can I be on the economy working policy group? What if that's filled up? Can I be on the economy working policy group? 844-500-4242. People are coming up with other card games that he could play. There's no need to get into this stuff. But Fredo Cuomo, I mean, can you imagine that a guy who, he didn't exactly pull himself up by the bootstraps. He was handed this job making $1 million a year to get ratings lower than whale excrement for CNN. And yet he somehow thinks he's this Edward R. Murrow of journalism or Walter Cronkite or some great Bob Grant even. You know, I mean, who is he? And he has this inflated view of himself. You know, the real Fredo, all he wanted to do was, you know, hang out in Vegas and bang two chorus girls at a time, as his brother Michael said. I mean, this guy Fredo thinks he's a serious human being. Who told him this? Just because he got sick and lost 13 pounds, now he thinks he's Winston Churchill or something. And I like the way he dumps on a guy on a biker. What does he think he would be doing if his last name wasn't Cuomo? Does he think he would even have enough dough to own a motorcycle? You think he'd be able to, he'd have enough dough to buy enough beer to give himself a beer belly? God, what a dope.
Is Badass Biker the new Credulous Boomer Rube?
Yeah, it is. You know, that's a good way to put it. That is this month's Credulous Boomer Rube, is a fat ass biker. You know why the fat ass biker was mouthing off to him? Because the fat ass biker knows that if his last name was Cuomo, he could have a crappy show on CNN too that nobody watched. And yet, and Fredo has the audacity to brag about the millions of dollars that he's making. Let's play cut 21 where he brags about his money.
And I don't want some jackass, loser, fat tire biker to be able to pull over and get in my face and in my space.
Wait a second here. Hold on. Stop this, Taylor. What is he doing outside? Isn't he infected? Is he supposed to be outside in the state of New York? He's in the Hamptons. This is why everybody fled the Hamptons and went to Nantucket or Rhode Island or New Hampshire. Because idiots like Chris Cuomo are walking around outside infecting everybody else. Go back to it.
Bullshit to me. I don't want to hear it. And just like you would, right? You're not going to tolerate that, right? Some cat just basically pulls up in the driveway next to yours and starts getting in your face about stuff. How's that going to go? How's that going to go, right? That matters to me more than making millions of dollars a year. That matters to me more.
Millions of dollars a year.
Why? Because Fredo I've saved making, my money.
Fredo is making millions of dollars a year. That distresses me.
I'm just so confused why he has this anger. I mean, he wanted to throw the Fredo guy down the stairs, and now it's worth... He's saying this. Now, keep in mind, while other people have lost their jobs, the most people probably ever have lost their jobs at one time in such a short amount of time. He's complaining about his job that he has, that he makes millions of dollars at, because if someone tells him that he should be inside and not outside, he wants to punch them in the face and knock that cat out.
Yeah.
He needs anger management.
He needs to shut his mouth. It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool rather than to speak and remove all doubt. And that's, he's removed all doubt. Not that there was much doubt to begin with. Someone, a texter points out, isn't fat shaming supposed to be hate speech? Well, we're at it.
How so dare you?
He loses 13 pounds and now he can come out and start accusing other people of having spare tires.
Also, Howie, are we really supposed to believe that most of the population would know who he is and like stops him on the street that often? It's probably a very small portion of people like us who watch CNN to mock it. It's not as if he's Cher and people are running into the streets going, Chris Cuomo, I need your autograph.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is he lives in Southampton, you know, one of the beautiful people enclaves on Long Island. If it, again, we come back to the fact, if his name wasn't Cuomo, would he be living in a beautiful people enclave? Maybe in the servants' quarters. That's about it. What are his qualifications to do anything? I know he went to law school. Big deal. That and 25 cents will, I don't know what 25 cents will get you anymore. Anyway, 844-500-4242-917 says, some cat. Who is he, Robert Mitchum? I'm getting ready to read the Robert Mitchum biography, by the way. I got it a while back, but I wanted to read those novels. But now I think I'm ready. You know what the title of it is? The Robert Mitchum biography by Lee Server. Baby, I don't care. Chris Cuomo dreams of being Robert Mitchum. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or your family's or your significant other's music or podcasts or anything else. Raycon wireless earbuds are the way to go. I'm holding them up now. This is my own personal pair of earbuds from Raycon. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. It's perfect for this enforced self-quarantining or whatever you want to call it. That's buyraycon.com/Howie, buyraycon.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Whose endorsement carries more weight for Joe Biden's campaign, Bernie Sanders or Barack Obama?
I think both of them are fairly meaningless because I don't think either one of them mean it. So I'm going to say...
Got to pick one.
I'm going to say it's going to be Obama.
63% say Barack Obama.
Yeah. I think... neither one of them mean it, though. Neither one of them mean it. So it's just, who's the more popular figure?
Yeah,
or who's
but Barack
the least
Obama
unpopular.
Had 12 minutes on how he didn't mean it. Gosh, it was boorish.
Yeah, it really. Well, pick your favorite Obama cut there. I haven't listened to it, Taylor. Go ahead. Pick your favorite one.
Joe gets stuff done. Joe helped me manage H1N1 and prevent the Ebola epidemic from becoming the type of pandemic we're seeing now.
Are you kidding?
He helped me restore America's standing and leadership in the world. On the other
remember,
of time,
Biden saved millions of lives.
Joe has the character and the experience to guide us through one of our darkest times and heal us
darkest
to a long
times?
Recovery. And I know he'll surround
heal
himself
us?
With good people. Experts,
oh,
scientists,
Comey,
military
Brennan.
Officials.
Clapa. What is he... What the hell does he mean? He's H1N1, which, by the way, Biden calls N1H1, killed a lot more people so far, anyway, than coronavirus has killed. What the hell is he talking about? This is why I didn't listen to it. Tim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for having me on the show. I have to tell you, I'm really concerned. I'm a Massachusetts resident, recently moved to Arizona. I frequently call home. I speak with family and friends, and all I'm hearing is absolute panic. Hundreds of people are dying every day. You need to lock yourself up. You need to close your doors. I often think about our heroes from World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Would they have handled it this way? Would they have just cowered, thrown a mask on, run back into their homes in fear?
Well, I mean, we've never done this before. I mean, you don't even have to go back to a war. I mean, go back to H1N1 or go back to SARS, you know? I mean, or the Asian flu. I mean, have we ever acted like this? I don't think so. You know, maybe
I'm really concerned about the state of our country, Howie. What message are we sending to our enemies from within and abroad? Are we weak? They're watching us. Are we showing weakness?
Well, I think
how should we be handling?
But Tim, I mean, how old are your relatives that are panicked?
40s, 50s.
Really?
I speak with my sister. God bless her. She's a wonderful girl. She works in an elderly facility, and she's nervous. I mean, which is understandable, of course. I don't want to sound insensitive. She's nervous. She's scared. So I feel for the victims of this plague. However, does the whole world have to shut down? It's really concerning to me
there's a lot more stories all the time about Betsy McCoy had one, the former lieutenant governor of New York today, saying that the toll from this economic shutdown, from this pending depression, I don't know how else to describe it, is going to be greater than any kind of toll from coronavirus. I mean, look at Obama just plunged the nation into an economic malaise, and the life expectancies started dropping. You know, alcoholism, drug dependency, even obesity. Just it was all skyrocketing. You know, when the economy is bad, that's the way human nature is. You drown your sorrows in something, and you know, the life expectancy has gone up the last couple of years because the economy has been better. And if it really tanks, we're going to have a lot more problems. And I think Trump understands that. I think a lot of Democrats are starting to understand it. I mean, look, Gavin Newsom is talking about reopening the West Coast, and it can't go on like this. I get more the feeling among people of exasperation with the fact that it's just dragging on like this. We got to get back to work. You know, people keep saying people are getting tired of you. How can you have the entire population just sitting on its rear end? I mean, somebody's got to work. Somebody's got to produce the goods that we need to survive and the services that we need to produce the goods that we need to survive. You can't have everybody sitting at home. And you can't have everybody from UMass and the courts and Massport getting a paycheck and just sitting at home eating Doritos. It's not going to work. And having Rhode Island cops staking out McDonald's looking for guys that are laid off in Taunton trying to sneak in around a golf at a public golf course. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We've been talking more and more about these little petty tyrants, these governors and mayors trying to get up in everybody's face and tell them they can't go to church or they can't play around a golf or they have to self-quarantine if they cross the border from one state to another. It really is getting out of control. And there was a good column today in National Review Online by David Harsanyi, Coronavirus Authoritarianism is Getting Out of Hand. David, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
It's a pleasure.
pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Why do you think there isn't more of an outcry about this? Why aren't the newspapers up in arms about what's going on here? I mean, I got angry when I saw that Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island ordered the state police to start stopping cars that had New York license plates on it. I'm not a civil libertarian. I'm not a member of the ACLU, but I sensed there was a problem constitutionally with just stopping one type of car with a license plate, you know? But I didn't see any outcry from the New York Times or Andrew Cuomo or the Providence Journal or any of the usual suspects. Why is that?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure why that is, and I suspect part of it is that people are scared, right? And another part of it is that maybe they're not really, maybe they're only upset by that sort of thing if a particular person is doing it who belongs to a particular party. But, I just saw just a few minutes ago, I saw the Raleigh police in North Carolina say that in a tweet that someone asked about, I think, about the protesting, and they said protesting was a non-essential activity, which is just... I can't understand how the police can stop someone from protesting. Maybe they're protesting the ban on non-essential stuff, right? I mean, that's exactly why protesting exists. So it is weird to me that people are more upset.
How about down in Greenville, Mississippi, where the mayor down there has stopped two pastors from having Easter Sunday services, and apparently he told the police to tell one of the pastors, "I'm suspending your rights." I mean, this is breathtaking stuff, isn't it? I mean, don't these people, didn't they go to high school civics classes? And the pastor said, the mayor didn't give me my rights. God gave me my rights. And then they said, well, so you can go to a liquor store in Greenville, Mississippi, and get a takeout bottle of booze, but you can't sit in your car and listen to the pastor in a parking lot and listen to the pastor preach on the radio. None of it makes any sense.
Right. You can't, in Vermont, I can't go buy a bag of seeds for my garden, even though there's only 600 cases of coronavirus in the entire state. It doesn't make any sense. But what I worry about is that you're normalizing this sort of behavior where the next emergency comes and the next one, and it just becomes the default that we have an emergency and that you can do whatever you want if you're a governor or mayor. It's simply... shouldn't be something that we accept, even though you might, and I do believe that people should social distance, all that stuff. I don't want the cops telling me. I want you to convince me that that's the right thing to do, and then that's what we'll do, because I think Americans are generally responsible people.
Yeah, I got a text yesterday from one of my listeners. He was down on Cape Cod. I think it was one of the national parks or something like that, some kind of federal property. And there was a sign up that you could park still in the parking lot, but you had to, nobody could park next to each other. So the cars actually had to social distance themselves. And again, none of this stuff makes a lot of sense. The governor of Massachusetts, the state that I normally live in, he announced that anyone who comes into the state has to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. But as you probably know, I mean, on the northern end of the state, a lot of people live in New Hampshire, and they come in, they work in Massachusetts, and then they live in New Hampshire. So every morning when they drive in, do they have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks? And again, nobody seems to be asking these kinds of questions. And I don't understand it. I mean, where's the old live free or die spirit in New Hampshire and the Minutemen in Massachusetts? Whatever happened to these guys?
Right, you think about Massachusetts and just the English just wanted to take some gunpowder and a few guns and they started a revolution, and now you're telling people they have to self-quarantine, you have cops pulling over people with license plates that aren't, in the right place. I heard in Massachusetts a couple of people went over to Rhode Island to golf and they... I think they were arrested, right? So
They staked out... The Rhode Island cops staked out a McDonald's. And these guys switched their golf clubs from the Massachusetts car to a Rhode Island car. I guess it was their getaway car. And they went down to this golf course, and then the cops busted them when they came back to the McDonald's.
You would figure that cops had better things to do, right? It's a national emergency.
Yeah, I mean, if they were in Michigan, they could be staking out the Walmart and making sure people didn't buy any paint, because that's one of the things Governor Whitmer has banned buying. I didn't know paint was a transmission vehicle for the coronavirus, but apparently, you know, her husband's a dentist. I thought she was some kind of lawyer, but she knows this stuff. I don't know.
Honestly, I wish that people would challenge these laws, right? I mean, I don't want anyone to put themselves in danger, but I wish someone would, like these guys down in who were arrested for golfing. I mean, I wish they would challenge these laws in courts. No one's, you know, people don't have the time for that or the money for that sort of thing. But I just can't imagine that these things can be constitutional, that in Raleigh you're not allowed to protest the government right now. Just
right.
Can't be.
Well, you mentioned this guy in Dallas, Clay Jenkins. My daughter lives in Dallas, and she works for a restaurateur. And this guy Clay Jenkins, it's really gone to his head. He's sort of the male version of Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, I don't know how this guy even got this power, but the county commissioners are trying to crack down on him and tell him, nobody elected you emperor of Dallas. And but he thinks he's J.R. Ewing reincarnated or something. He's running the show. And closing the public parks too. That's another thing. You know, how about these guys getting arrested? A guy, a surfer dude sees some gnarly waves and decides to go out, and he's the only guy out there, and they bust him.
Yeah, I mean, this guy in Dallas. Well, there's a big problem with him, but another problem with him is that he is asking other citizens to rat out their neighbors for supposedly breaking the law. I mean, it's incredibly un-American, I think, to do something like that or to ask for something like that.
Well, the mayor of L.A. is doing the same thing. The mayor of L.A. is Gil Garcetti. Yeah.
But a lot of people live in buildings, right? They live in apartments. They live if maybe they don't have that much money yet or maybe they just like urban living. They're in little boxes and they can't go to parks in certain states. It's just bad for their mental well-being. It's bad for their health. It just doesn't really make sense.
You know, 7-8-1.
Also, the national park. Sorry to interrupt, but hiking. Why can't I go on a hike? That's literally a mile between me and the next person.
I agree. One of my texters says, "Where's the ACLU when you need them?"
No, nowhere when you need them.
Yeah, they're trying to get illegal aliens out of jails, I think. But actually, when Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island announced her plan to stop all the cars with New York license plates coming into the state. The Providence Journal asked the ACLU for a comment, and they said, "We don't think this is constitutional," but there wasn't that usual, thundering about going into court and seeking a temporary restraining order or anything like that. They just let it slide. And then
people are scared.
Yeah. You think so, really? You think they're scared or they just
I think ACLU probably is nervous that if they start causing trouble now, they're going to look like they have blood on their hands, right, when people pass away or whatever it is. I say that, listen, I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I also think that, there's nothing in the Constitution says that you have these rights except when there's a problem going on. Or this is how, and I don't want to sound melodramatic here, but this is how people end up in camps, and, that's a long way away, but you have an emergency, you have someone scaring everyone, and then they take power for themselves that is not theirs to have, and no one challenges them because everyone's scared to be the one who does it, and then you end up with a lot of, increasingly, intrusive and authoritarian measures. I'm not saying that Cuomo is going to put people in camps tomorrow, but, you have to not allow them to take this power now because it continues to grow in the future. That's,
yeah, you mentioned one, and it's really a telling point, and that is the video of the cops in Philadelphia pulling the guy off the bus or the train because he's not wearing a face mask. I mean
what right do they have to do that to somebody?
Right. I know. They've ended the policy. I mean, that's the thing. A picture is worth a thousand words, so they're not doing that anymore. But this is the same Philadelphia that's been releasing people from the jail. The jails, and instructing the police not to arrest anybody for committing any crime short of, use of a firearm or murder. I don't know if you saw this. The L.A. county sheriff. He released 4,200 prisoners. Because he didn't want them to be infected with coronavirus. He gave an interview to the Fox News station last night, and he said he's worried about a crime wave in L.A.
But you can't make this enough to let people. Right.
You can't make this stuff up.
But then a lot of people want to stop, and I think L.A. was one of them, people from buying guns to protect themselves and their house and their family once you're releasing prisoners and the cops are busy chasing down surfers. I think that's, I know a lot of injunctions have been put forward by courts and stuff like that, so it doesn't really work everywhere, but it just seems like all the priorities are off base when something like this happens. And by the way, I just want to quickly say, it's not like you needed to convince Americans to do the right thing. The vast majority of people are responsible, right? You've convinced them. They're doing what, the economy's falling apart, but they're still doing it. And then you also still want to have these authoritarian measures on top of that. I think that that's going to hurt your, it's going to hurt your case, right? It's going to hurt the case that you're trying to make to Americans that they need to do this when you're essentially forcing, or it looks like you're forcing them to do stuff.
Yeah, I tell you another thing they've done in Massachusetts. They shut down the gun shops, and then they said, okay, we're going to reopen the gun shops. Then the liberals were complaining, and they shut them down again. And one of my sponsors on my radio show was doing virtual classes so you could get your permits, for when the gun shops were allowed to reopen. They shut down the virtual classes to get your permits.
I don't even understand how you're allowed to shut down some speech. That's just free speech. I don't even understand how you're allowed to shut down the Second Amendment, but the First Amendment also. It's just it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Where is anybody standing up?
Just column writers who have no power.
Just people like us?
Just complainers, yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do other than complain.
Yeah.
But, I think that after a while, more Americans are going to be annoyed by it, and then something will happen, because you can't treat people that way yet in this country. At least I hope not.
All right. David Harsanyi, we're going to tweet out your column. It was a good job. You've been doing a lot of great columns lately, and we look forward to having you back on the show again sometime. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have you had enough of the volatility of the stock markets yet? Down 1,000 or more points one day, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box on the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride the stock markets are on. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad, that's over now, but it went on for a while and it had something to do with the market plunges. You always need to be diversified, and that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you still haven't taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them now, 1-800-912-2300. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. I live in a town, or right now I'm living in a town where there's a curfew, 9 to 6, and I had to get to the studio in West Palm Beach to do my hit on Fox and Friends at 6:35. At 5:53, I ran the curfew. Had to look in the rearview mirror to try to outrun the cops on the bridge.
You know who I am.
At least I didn't run into any fat tire bikers. That's all I got to say. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Yesterday, we tried to have Dr. Chris Hines on, but we had an act of God interfered, and we were knocked off the air. And so we had to the YouTube viewers got to hear the beginning of our contest here. But Dr. Hines has got a great contest going on here at DeStefano Hair Restoration Center. So joining us now, without further ado, is Dr. Chris Hines. Thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show, Dr. Hines.
Thanks for having me, Howie.
And thanks for sponsoring ER Eats, by the way. And it's your contribution was greatly appreciated. We've sent out the money, and we're sending out more money. If you want to get anybody, any listeners want to get involved, go to HowieCarrShow.com, and it's at the top of the page, and it's doing great. But anyway, tell us about the contest. We have a hair transplant giveaway.
Yeah, so we're just trying to, make a narrative for people to enter, and if they, they write a little description about why they deserve a free hair transplant, and we're going to pick a winner, and they'll have to be able to, they'll be able to get it completed anytime over the next 6 months.
Boy, this is a hell of a deal. This is a value of almost $10,000. This is a great opportunity, and all you got to do is, and a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands right now. Go to hairman.com/howie. Hairman.com/howie, and then what do they do from there?
Well, they make their submission, and we've already had, the YouTube airing yesterday, despite God kicking me off and you off the air.
Yeah, so, it's a good contest when you have lots of entries when you're just on YouTube. I mean, that's our smallest medium. I mean, we love our YouTube viewers, but it's our smallest group of viewers, listeners that we have. So you just got to tell why you want the hair transplant from Dr. Hines at DeStefano Hair Restoration. So what would you suggest? What's going to appeal to you and the staff at DeStefano Hair Restoration, Dr. Hines?
Oh, I don't know. I've already read some of them. I don't want to, and they're already tugging at my heartstrings a little bit. So, I'll leave it up to people. They probably have a better imagination than me, but some of them are kind of sad. So, we're out there to help people and with this, and that's going to be my biggest aim, whoever, needed it for the most just reason, if you will, so.
Here's a great thing about having a hair transplant, and you guys did a great job. I had my last transplant from you, Dr. Hines, and it's fantastic. And people tell me they don't even know that I had a hair transplant. But when you have weather like yesterday and you have to go outside, if you have all your hair, you don't have to worry about that comb over.
That's true. That's definitely true. Yeah. And I'm on the website, Howie. I'm not only the club president, I'm also a client.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Howie. I've had two hair transplants myself. My hair was running for cover, so I've been through it. I know what it's like.
Yeah, so if you want to get in on this contest, this is a great opportunity to get a free hair transplant. What are you going to announce the winner, Dr. Hines?
We haven't made that discussion yet. I think I'm going to leave that up to probably Kathy and Mike Casella, my main guy.
All right. So if you want to enter the contest to get a free hair transplant, go to hairman.com/Howie. It's DeStefano Hair Restoration. Tell Dr. Hines why you deserve to get a free transplant and look as good as Dr. Hines and Dr. Carr. Because we look better now than we used to. I'm Howie Carr.